What's the point? If everybody's leaving tonight and you say, well, I rather like it in Egypt. I like the blood, I like the door, I like the lamb, I like the bitter herbs, but I'd rather stay in Egypt. Can't I have them all in Egypt? And he says, no. Part of the covenant is, get moving. Get moving. It's the very atmosphere of this Hebrew letter is, faith is not a thing. It's a journey. Are you moving? Are you seeking? What are you seeking? Now, when you start to talk about seeking God or seeking God for holiness, or this is what he's talking about. We leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We go on with the goal of perfection. Oh, yes, perfection. That's great. I'll get that when I go to heaven after I die. So I may as well just as in live in this world of sin as a poor sinner until he comes. No, he says, you are longing for the reality of that world here, and now you want to know the power of that world in this life. So we don't lay again the foundation of repentance. That's beginning things. Faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, the doctrines of the resurrection and eternal judgment, all those are foundational. But we're now talking about the quest, the search, this great consuming passion. I'm going on with God. You get this tremendous word in the Old Testament. When Gideon was pursuing his enemies, there comes this point when he is absolutely exhausted. And the Bible says he was faint, but he was still pursuing. He kept on, even though he was faint. The distinguishing mark between believer and believer, as we look at this covenant, the distinguishing mark between men of God and people who just get through is going to be this: those whose hearts are absolutely burning to go on with God. So my challenge to you as I read this book here is, are you going on with God? Because that's the challenge of chapter 6. Are you going on to perfection? The word perfection in the Greek there has two meanings. It means holiness, sinlessness, and it means maturity. Some people like maturity rather than sinlessness. So they say, I'd rather be mature rather than without sin. And many translations translate that word as maturity, not perfection. But the problem with that is that it means both. So you've got to go for maturity and holiness. When we say sinlessness, slight slip of the tongue, because I know that we've said this so many times, and I'll repeat it again because people get all jumpy when you say sinlessness. The point is, yes, we are not sinless in this life. If I haven't sinned today, thank God, does that mean I won't sin before midnight? No, I can't say that because I am not perfect. Paul said he wasn't perfect. I am not sinlessly perfect. I will not be sinlessly perfect till I stand with Christ in glory. I will be beyond temptation and sin then. In this world, I will always have that possibility. But that does not mean I am going to accept to live with sins of mind, imagination, or whatever level. I am not going to accept them. I'm going to seek God for the full power of holiness. We'll close in a moment. We'll have to finish Hebrews in our session next week. But this tremendous chapter, this tremendous warning in this chapter, let's just turn to chapter 5. And this will be our closing thing. Verse 11. Of whom, he says in verse 10, Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, if you were in my Hebrew classes, as you should all be, some of you wanted to join my Hebrew classes, you'd know that Melchizedek is Melchizedek, which Jeremiah will immediately know what it means. Melech is, and Zedek is, righteousness, so king of righteousness, Melchizedek. And but called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. Wow. Don't you wish he'd said them? And hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what are the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so he continues, but here's a very interesting point. He says, I wanted to write lots and lots of things about Melchizedek, but I couldn't. He said, I've got so much to say, but it's hard to utter. Every preacher knows when you stand up before a congregation, your teaching and your preaching will be according to the hunger of the people you speak to. And you find preachers often say this, I went to that place and they were so hungry, it just drew it out of me. And they go to another place and they were sort of all eager to go home and they were all looking at their watches. And, you know, after 3 hours, I don't blame them. But the point is, you know, I went to a church once when the deacon said to me, now, you've got to finish. We started the meeting at 6:30. He said, you've got to finish at 7:35. You must announce the last hymn at 7:35. Mrs. Walters has got to walk her dog. And if she doesn't get her dog walked at 7:35, if she doesn't know you're on, she'll walk out anyway. You know, I've been to churches like that, and you think, wow, am I going to preach here? Everybody wants to make sure they're gone in time. You know, nobody's free to let the Spirit move. The interesting thing is, God will speak to you on Sunday morning in the church you go to, according to your hunger. So when you leave a service and say, the preacher was useless, I didn't get anything out of that, you may be more reflecting on your own state rather than his. A hungry soul will get something out of a dry old orange. He'll squeeze a drop out somewhere. Now, there you are. There's hope even when I'm teaching. But the thing is, you see, that the point is here that God says, I've got things to say, but I can't say them unless you're hungry. There are depths and glories of the covenant, but you're not interested. There's the point on the Emmaus Road when Jesus made as if he'd go further. I want to go further. And the disciples said, no, come here. Jesus, come on, let's go on. No, let's go in here. Come on. Please move on. No, let's go here. Jesus said, all right, I'll come in with you. And then comes the worst part of that verse, because he says, you ought to have been a teacher and a preacher. Now, I don't know. He's writing to people here who should have been further on. I don't know if that's true of anybody here or not. I don't suspect it is. But the point is, every one of us could ask ourselves, have I attained the stature God intended for me? Am I as deep with God in prayer? Is my ministry as deep and as powerful as God intended it to be? Or have I missed something? Am I behind? You know, if I were in school and I were 10 years old and still couldn't read, I'd be ashamed. My parents would be ashamed of me. And here he's saying, you ought to have graduated. You ought to have been teachers. You ought to have been the ones doing this. The interesting thing there is, you are dull of hearing. And the word dull of hearing is most interesting, because in the Greek again it says, you are without push. You're not sitting on the edge of your seat. You're sitting back in your armchair. You're drifting off to sleep in your armchair. You're not pushing. You're not praying. You're not seeking. Well, the point he's saying here is, come on, let's go on. If this covenant has such power and such blessings, let's go on. Well, we'll have to stop there, and you've been wonderfully, as always, you're a wonderful people to teach. Let's pray, shall we? And we'll close our meeting. Let's pray. Father, I praise you for the power and glory of this covenant, that it is measured by the power and glory of Jesus. And I pray, put this passion in every heart to go on with God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. See you all next Thursday.